The world is changing rapidly before our eyes, and if you don't have the right guide, you'll end up lost, angry, and probably even dead. So join me as I decode the occult symbolism of the biggest pop culture events in our world today. There's so much to catch up on in our popular TMZ Illuminate Confirm roundup show. We're going to cover Marianne Faithfull's death, from Lucifer Rising to Mick Jagger and even British intelligence. Ye loves the Nazis, smut, and Diddy. Elon Musk also loves Nazi and now has another child with ties to Mossad, Israeli intelligence, and Ashley St. Clair has conspiracies of pedo claims and all kinds of stuff. Bill Gates' divorce is connected to his Epstein friendship. We got the release of the JFK, MLK, and RFK files, a speech given at the World Economic Forum with BlackRock. Jamie Foxx's Netflix special was propaganda to distance himself from Diddy, and Ellen DeGeneres is being punished by the Celtic goddesses. My name is Isaac Weishaupt, and I've been podcasting since 2014. Now, we've been seeing these kinds of events over and over and over again, right? It's my 11th year of podcasting. And, I mean, the agenda becomes more clear to me that what we're facing is a ritual, stylized events, pop culture events, engineered to have us talking about it. And so, in some ways, I'm giving them what they want, I think. But, my role is to give you a keen perspective on what's really happening, what these things really mean. So join me today on the TMZ style roundup. We're going to talk about all these events, all these celebrities, and this is a bonus show. That's right, every month I do a bonus show only for my supporters, not for those free feed losers. They're constantly crying and pissing and moaning. That's not for them. They're missing out, and I don't want you to do that. I want you to be a winner. Joking, of course, but if you want to support the show, there's three places to go. Links are always in the show notes. You know where to go, you know what to do. People always say, which one you want me to do? Whichever one you like. I don't know. I'll appreciate whatever support you give me. You can compare the three options at IlluminatiWatcher.com. Go to the VIP tab and compare them, okay? All right, now that I've shook off all the triggered folks that can't handle a joke, let's get into it today. Let's start out with Marianne Faithfull. A lot of you don't know who she is. She died. We talked about her many times in the past. She was a female singer. She was British. She dated Mick Jagger, an artist, a musician, tons of albums, blah, blah, blah. But now here's where things get wicked. Her father was a British intelligence officer. And this puts her in league with all of the folks that David McGowan talked about in his book. Where's the book? I got it on my shelf. Laurel Canyon, something. Something Laurel Canyon. Help me, folks. What do you got? Secret scenes inside Laurel Canyon? I don't remember. Something like that. But he talked about all the 60s groups tied to intelligence agents with the idea of social engineering. So was she part of that? Maybe. I don't know. Because she was born to a British intelligence officer. And her mother was Hungarian royalty. So, I mean, she's destined for Illuminate Confirm. Her great-great-uncle was Leopold von Schacher of Mazak. And this guy, Mazak, excuse me. And he is the guy that gave us the term masochism. I suppose that's where the name comes from, because his last name is Mazak. Mazakism. Because he wrote an erotic novel back in 1870 called Venus in Furs. And the title is such because it's about a man who dreams of speaking to Venus while Venus is wearing a fur coat. And then part of the storyline, I've never read it, but part of the storyline is about this character who's so in love with a woman that he begs her to be her slave and be degraded and so on. So just a fun fact. But now back to, so this is, that's her bloodlines, right? But back to Marianne, she also spent time living in a commune, right? And you always see this kind of thing. You see this weird, these extremes. One of the parents will be an extreme sort of military asset, and the kid goes into extreme hippiedom. You saw it with Jim Morrison, right? With his father, the naval commander, what's his name, at the USS, at the Gulf of Tonkin, right? that started the Vietnam War, the false flag. Jim Morrison's father was the naval commander there. I think he was intelligence as well. They always are. Anyway, Marianne Faithfull, she hung with all these 60s type hippies and such. She's friends with Anita Pallenberg. She was Brian Jones's girlfriend from the Rolling Stones. And she ties into Marjorie Cameron, right? We talked about Marjorie Cameron on a three-parter years and years ago. Check that out. Back in, I mean, probably 2017. She had a fascinating history, and she's plugged into a lot of these major counterculture figures. Marianne's voice is on the track Yellow Submarine. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. And she inspired a whole bunch of tracks, like from the Rolling Stones, obviously, because she dated Mick Jagger. You Can't Always Get What You Want, and Wild Horses, and even Sympathy for the Devil all had some kind of influence from Marianne Faithfull. And what's interesting is that she was on a track. There was a track she made. Yeah, because she had multiple albums. I think it was like 20-some albums. She made all the way up until her death, basically. And there was a track she had called She that she wrote with Angelo Badalamenti.
Yes.
Which, by the way, last plug, Twin Peaks Grey Lodge ends on Sunday.
Wait.
Sunday. It all ends. I've got a banger of a show. It's over 3 hours. I'm still editing and trying to figure out how to get it all there. But we're doing the final wrap-up, the final theory. What is Twin Peaks? Well, it's Illuminate confirmed, and I'm going to walk you through it. So, last episode ever of The Grey Lodge. Bittersweet. All right, it's been a long journey of 55 episodes. Thank you if you support the show and you've listened to all those Grey Lodge episodes. And if you haven't supported the show yet, what are you doing? If you haven't watched Twin Peaks yet, what are you doing? Get on it. Okay. Now, Marianne, she was also an actor. She was in Kenneth Anger's Lucifer Rising. She played the role of Lilith. And, you know, Kenneth Anger plays a role in a lot of the counterculture occultism. Mick Jagger wrote the score for it, which was actually used in inauguration of the Pleasure Dome. But Jagger was influenced by Kenneth Anger to start dabbling into the occult. But then when the Death from the Altamont concert happened, Mick Jagger got spooked. He's like, man, we were messing with stuff and weird stuff happened. Right after we played Sympathy for the Devil, weird stuff always happens, he said. And that's when that dude got stabbed up. So he was like, man, I'm going to mess with this black magic no more. Marianne kept going, though. She played the devil in a William S. Burroughs play called The Black Rider. And she was supposed to be in Rocky Horror Picture Show, one of my favorites. She was supposed to play Magenta and Columbia, but didn't. You know, and as one would expect, her life full of, sadly full of drugs and addictions and mental health issues. But she, you know, eventually sort of gets it all together, revered as a feminine figure, an icon, and all these things, right? But she definitely dabbled into the occult, right? She's one of the formative figures of the counterculture movement. And in fact, there was a song she had called Witch's Song. She made about this divine pagan feminine spirit that follows her. I mean, in her autobiography, she straight up says it. She's like, look, I believe in the great goddess and her consort Pan. I don't believe in the Holy Trinity. So, you know, Illuminate confirm. Speaking of Illuminate confirm, that old Kanye West canceled yet again. He went on a full-blown tirade. Must have got his phone back in his hand. Of, you know, loving Hitler and Nazis and so on. Still railing hard against the you-know-Jay-Who's, right? And he was selling a shirt with a swastika on it, and the product name was HH01. HH, of course, means Hail Hitler. And then Shopify shut the store down. They're like, nope, we're not doing this, Kanye. Now, ironically, he was making all these posts on Twitter, And what got him removed was when he started posting smut videos. And then later, when this fallout happened, there were some documents leaked proving he was actually definitely going to start a smut company, because that was a claim made a while back. It was called Yeezy Porn, which I'm sure makes, you know, because he was very much into the gospel stuff and his church services, which I always said I didn't believe. I think he was using the playbook from the Kris Jenner and the Kardashian family. It's like a tax shelter write-off. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm completely wrong, right? I don't know these people. But, you know, they say to judge people by their fruits, and I'm like, I don't know, he seems kind of like a scumbag. Or he's got mental issues, which would be tragic and sad, because I actually liked Kanye West's music, but like, I don't pay him no attention anymore, because either he's a terrible human being, or he's suffering from some serious mental issues, possibly CTE from his car accident, something along those lines, right? Which, it's, you know, that's sad. I want him to get help. But if you recall, all this madness started, we did a show, an episode about the Grammys recently, with his I talked about his MK Ultra instructions for Bianca Censori to take her clothes off in front of everybody. And we talked about this on the show, about how there's sexual commands found in cults like the Charles Manson family. And in Eyes Wide Shut, Red Cloak, he makes the commands. He hits the cane on the ground and all the women drop their clothes just like this, right? And then they're instructed to go have sex with the dudes, the elites. So now, Kanye West and Bianca allegedly getting divorced is what the media is saying, but and they have no prenup. But if you follow Kanye's post and Emily Knows Everything, which I do, right? You should do that. She's been busy with Kanye West stuff. Via Milo, the Yiannopoulos, who I thought was done with Ye, but apparently he's with him again. I don't know. They claim that fake news. This is just the media doing the fake news thing, so who knows? He also, during this whole mess, was threatened to have this sex tape released of him by a guy named Kevin Blatt, an alleged sex tape of him from 2012, where he's in Vegas with a hooker. And as of this recording, as of recently as yesterday, he was tweeting about how great Drake's new album is, which is interesting, right? Because Drake's always been in, you know, he's been in the crosshairs from Kendrick Lamar, right? And the big takeaway of, like, the biggest, I mean, out of all these things, I don't know if it's the biggest thing, but one major concern is that he's been also defending Diddy. Tweeting about how the accuser of the Jay-Z Diddy assault dropped that lawsuit. Then Ye was promoting a hoodie that was worn by Cassie, the same hoodie she was wearing when Diddy was beating her up in the hallways on that footage, the surveillance footage from the elevators. And then during that tweet, Ye admitted that he also hits women. I mean, it's crazy, right? It's crazy. He's either trying to become the biggest villain in the world, or he's suffering from mental health issues. Speaking of Nazis, Elon Musk still couldn't pull out of a garage. 13th alleged kid announced by a supposed baby mama. Oh, and a lot of people wanted to know, I'm sure, that they want to know what I think about the quote-unquote Roman salute that he did during, I don't even remember at this point, the inauguration. When was that? Yeah, 100%. That was a Nazi salute. I have eyeballs and a brain in my head, and I saw him do it not once, but twice. One time, okay, maybe. Twice in a row? No, that's a Nazi salute. And why not? Because he's obsessed with going to the stars and space travel just like NASA, which was created by Operation Paperclip, a bunch of Nazis, right? And it goes back through all the, you know, Hitler had all these vril fantasies, communicate with aliens and all this stuff. I discuss all this in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, User Illusion 1. But Musk, he is a technocrat just like his grandfather, right? It's all about the new Atlantis of science dictating for how man should live. That's what we're looking at. He's very much about bringing about the end times. He's very much about bringing in the AI Antichrist. His Twitter AI, Grok, is symbolized by XI. That's a Roman numeral for what number? 11, the number of magic. And then there's been a lot of weird pop culture synchro mysticism sort of end times events, like Donald Trump being the leader of the free world now, driving in the Daytona 500 in the car called the Beast. It's, I mean, we got to get right, folks. It ain't looking good. But Elon's been propping up and campaigning for some, I don't know, far-right German political groups. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like this all supports the idea that that's what we thought it was. And then he posted 14 flags on his tweet, on a tweet at 2:14 Eastern Standard Time, which is 14:14 in military time. 14 flags at 14:14, a reference to what? 14 words, which is a white supremacist slogan. It's 14 words that says, let's see, we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. And he posted that in response to a Trump tweet saying, he who saves his country does not violate any law. Okay. Some strange things going on. And I'll let you decide what you think. And then Elon also did the 666 hands, the white supremacy sort of symbol on SNL a couple years back. He's also from South Africa, which had all the racist apartheid stuff. I mean, you can go on all day, right? And truth is, we used to be leery about this guy. Just 2 years ago, I've done several shows talking about Elon Musk's technocracy push. I have a whole slogan. I have shirts on the back that say these nerds are going to kill us. Well, what nerds do you think I'm talking about? Talk about that nerd. There's multiple nerds. That's the biggest, richest nerd in the world. And for some reason, don't ask me, he somehow found a pass in parts of the truther community, and people started being like, yeah, he's a good guy now. Look, I'm not falling for it. I'm too OG red pill to fall for this nonsense. My red pill daddies wouldn't fall for this nonsense, and you shouldn't either. There's a lot of money and networking going on right now, and you should open your eyes up. I've basically stopped looking at social media at this point. I don't trust anyone or anything now. It's pretty terrible that it's come to this, but why should you listen to me? Well, because I've been talking about this and taking notes on the technocracy, the oligarchy taking over for years. This goes back 100, 200 years. If you go to Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America, he straight up tells you that there will be a platonic empire on Earth and the New Atlantis led by scientists. And that's always been the plan. In the book, he says it's the plan of the Order of the Quest. That's the Illuminati. That's what, when you consume Bill Cooper's Mysteries of the Babylon series, I don't know, 30 episodes or whatever it is, the Order of the Quest is the original name. It's the secret society group, and they believe in a perfected social order using technology, which I ascertain as the digital matrix. That's why Facebook, Google, Amazon, they're all up there in the front row. They're going to usher us into this final age, along with Mr. Neuralink. And I've been talking about this since my very first book in 2012. In fact, just recently in March of 22, I did a show talking about this very specific thing long before Elon was a politician. So don't hit me with that political stuff, right? None of that changed. It's part of the Great Reset. Anyway, this new baby mama, she claims Ashley St. Clair is her name. Sounds like a porn star, but it's apparently some conservative Twitter user. Said she had Elon's baby 5 months ago. Now, if it's true, Elon's now got 13 of these things running around. I can't believe women are sleeping with this guy. I get that he's got a lot of money. Come on, ladies, what are we doing here, right? The kids' names are Nevada. That kid died at 10 weeks old. Then he had some twins, Griffin and Vivian. Then he had triplets, Kai, Saxon, and Damien. Then his BM Grimes gave him X, Exa Dark Side Rail, and Techno Mechanicus. And simultaneously, he was making babies with a side family and made twins Strider and Azure with an executive that worked under him at Neuralink. Then he had a mystery child that we don't know the name of. And now we possibly have the 13th child with Ashley St. Clair. And if you're taking notes, two of Elon's kids are named after the Antichrist, Damien and X. And look, I have another podcast. Some of you love it. Some of you hate it. It's me and my wife, Freestyle and Opinions. And we just recorded a show about X, about this child X. And I kind of go through the ideas of X being the symbol of the Antichrist and how maybe that's what this is. So be sure to check that out. Breaking Social Norms is the podcast. And X, of course, easily the dumbest name out of all those dumb names. It was actually originally X Ash A12, but they've changed it to X AI. So on Twitter, some person was digging around somehow and found a 2020 tweet from Ashley St. Clair talking about how basically she would hook up with Elon someday back when he only had 7 kids. And they tagged Elon. Elon apparently said, whoa. And then Ashley responds to it and says, Elon, we've been trying to communicate for the past several days and you have not responded. Was this a car insurance quote? When are you going to reply to us instead of publicly responding to smears from an individual who just posted photos of me in underwear at 15 years old? 15. I'm definitely not searching for that on my computer, but apparently that happened. I don't know why. And what's weird is like, I don't see anyone talking about that part of the story. Maybe because they don't want to look at it. They don't want to look it up either. Now, here's where things get wicked. WikiLeaks posted on February 16th on Twitter, Musk, I don't even know how to say this, Odilisk? Old smarty art over there at WikiLeaks. Musk Odilisk, Ashley St. Clair is managed by PR strategist Brian Glicklick. I'm not making that up. Brian Dicklick, who previously received $598,000 from Israeli security company Mer Security and Communication Systems, at that time reportedly to help Congo avoid human rights sanctions. St. Clair says she is J-E-W-I-S-H, which was kind of odd that WikiLeaks had to throw in that little, like, Semitic angle, I guess? I don't know. And look, I'm not defending it. I think there's a lot of strange activities going on with the Zionists and Israel and all that. It's just not my bag, baby. But the Congo thing, apparently Rudy Giuliani's connected. It's a massive can of worms, okay? I bet Whitney Webb's probably dug into this or something. And then they posted on WikiLeaks, they post a screenshot from a Times of Israel tweet, and it says, the filings show that Mer paid $360,000 to Adnan Jalil, a former congressional liaison for Trump's campaign, which I looked him up, him or her, and it's some big pharma rep, some big pharma guy, as per Open Secrets. I don't know. Then $250,000 to the firm of Nancy A. Miller, the wife of Trump campaign advisor and former CIA chief R. James Woolsey Jr. That's right. The guy running the CIA. $680,000 to the firm of early Congressman Robert Livingston, an early Trump endorser, and $598,000 to the firm of Brian Dicklick, who has represented Trump allies, including Breitbart News and Rush Limbaugh. Now, I don't really know what they're getting at here. I think they're just saying that there's a lot of strange things, but on the post I saw about this on Instagram, funny enough, I saw Sam Tripoli in the comments. I need to get with those guys. If any of them guys are listening, hit me up, please. I need to get back on Tinfoil Hat. Or if you're listening and you like it when we team up, get a hold of them. Say, hey, Y'all need to have Isaac on the show, because I don't want to go around and ask. Oh shucks, I'm too modest. I really miss those guys. I haven't been on there in a long time. But Sam Tripoli in the comments, he said Mossad, and I agree. I think that's probably, there's some buggery going on there. Okay, maybe they're setting up Elon for some okie doke because of his Roman salute, the quote unquote Roman salute. And that's where things are strange, because you got Elon doing sort of like, you know, Nazi-esque stuff. And then you got Trump doing some like Zionistic-y kind of stuff. I don't know what to think. And then I was digging into it, and there's this account on Twitter called Stringwall, and it gets really confusing. It says that CIA Woolsey guy worked with Mike Flynn, and somehow Woolsey's connected as codename Grandpa in some fundamental LDS Utah group run by a guy named Jacob Kingston, who's doing 18 years in federal prison for orchestrating a scheme to launder $140 million stolen from the U.S. Treasury in Turkey with the help of a CIA asset. I presume he means Woolsey? I don't know. Kingston claims he was part of a plot to fund militia groups in Syria with this money. It goes on and on and on, tying Flynn into a bunch of the stuff. I'm not going to pretend to understand. It's called Stringwall. Look for it, I guess. But speaking of Zionist pedos, Bill Gates. Bill Gates and Epstein. Oh, he just can't shake this Epstein stuff. We've confirmed the divorce with Melinda is based on his relationship with Epstein. It was a thought back in the day. A lot of people were thinking that maybe that's what happened. Well, now we know it. Page6.com refers to a Wall Street Journal ad, because like all these big news companies are putting everything behind paywalls. I don't know what you're supposed to do. Epstein threatened to expose Gates's alleged affair with a Russian bridge player named Mila Antonova in 2017 after Gates declined to join his multi-billion dollar charitable fund with JP Morgan Chase. Epstein had known Antonova since 2013 and paid for her to enroll in software coding school. The billionaire, who was married to Melinda Gates from 94 to 2021, was allegedly in a relationship with Antonova for years. In March of 22, Melinda, 60, claimed Epstein played a role in the demise of her and Bill's marriage. During an appearance on CBS Mornings, the philanthropist shared that she decided to leave her 27-year marriage for many things, including her ex-husband's former relationship with Epstein. So I'm theorizing, Epstein met this girl and was like, hey, I'm going to pay for all this stuff for you. You're going to do me a favor down the road. Down the road, he's like, I need you to start flirting with Bill Gates. And she was probably like, ew, no. And he was like, seriously, go do it. So she went and did it. And now Epstein's got the blackmail. It's a blackmail circuit, right? He probably had it on film. It's probably on the tapes, just like Diddy did. And if you go to the Daily Beast, they reported Melinda's experience with Epstein that she's come out and talked about as evil personified. It says, according to the Daily Beast, Melinda was present for a meeting between her husband and Epstein at Epstein's Upper East Side mansion in September of that year. Afterwards, she told friends that she was furious at the relationship between the two men. She described how uncomfortable she was in the company of a wealthy sex offender and told friends she wanted nothing to do with him. Sources close to the couple told the site that Gates' friendship with Epstein, who for years was accused of molesting scores of underage girls, still haunts Melinda. Speaking to CBS, she said she went to meet Epstein because she wanted to see who this man was, adding that she regretted it from the second I stepped in the door. She described Epstein as abhorrent and evil personified. Quote, I had nightmares about it afterwards. So, you know, my heart breaks for these young women because that's how I felt. And here I am, an older woman. My God, I felt terrible for those young women. It was awful. Melinda knew better. What's wrong with you, Bill? What's wrong with you? Speaking of billionaire pedos. There's a belief that the Epstein files are going to be released just like the JFK files are supposed to be released. If you go to Radar Online, not the most reliable, but it's there. Says that President Donald Trump is facing mounting pressure for him to release the sealed documents surrounding the controversial death of financier Jeffrey Epstein. RadarOnline.com can reveal Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn and Representative Tim Burchett are at the forefront of the push for the Epstein files to be made public. Now, if you recall, Epstein was really cozy. Sorry, my throat's still messed up from being sick for so long. Epstein was really cozy with a lot of folks at the top. A lot of folks. So my skepticism remains healthy on us ever getting actual new information and not curtailed, sort of filtered information. In fact, if you look up the judges and the lawyers who got Epstein his sweetheart deal, you're going to see a lot of overlap with some people that are very powerful. And again, Whitney, shout out Whitney Webb. Like, she'd be crushing it on this. She wrote a whole book about it. I got to read it. But Trump did sign an executive order declassifying the JFK, RFK, and MLK files, the documents, which is great. I'll give him the flowers. Good. I like that. But he did not talk about the Epstein files. In fact, back before the election, I think it was 60 Minutes or somebody was sitting with him and they were like, are you going to release the 9/11 files? Yeah. You're going to release the JFK files? Yeah. You're going to release the MLK files? Yeah. You're going to release the Epstein files? I'm going to look into it.
Oh, dear.
We'll see, right? A congressional task force is being established right now in the House Oversight Committee to decide if these Epstein documents will be released, apparently. It's headed by Republican Florida Representative Luna. She's apparently a big Trump ally, wants his face to be carved on the Mount Rushmore. And they're going to go over authorizing to release documents on 9/11, JFK, MLK, UFO, Epstein's contact list, and the thing from 2020 that no one talks about now, finally, that will never go away. And speaking of the thing from 2020 that will never go away, moving on. It's Radar Online is claiming that the lab leak theory might be real. Again, we keep hearing this over and over. It says the CIA backs the theory. According to an assessment by new CIA director John Ratcliffe, the agency has low confidence in this conclusion, adding that there isn't sufficient evidence to easily resolve the ongoing debate over the origin of the pandemic. Now, if you recall, Zuck was suppressing this theory back in 2020. Back in 2020, there was massive amounts of censorship going on, okay? Now, you remember Zuck was recently on Joe Rogan talking about how oh my God, Joe Biden told me I couldn't do anything. I couldn't post stuff and censoring and fact-checking and all that, right? Which I'm like, yeah, that's messed up. But what about 2020? There was massive amounts of censorship in 2020. I know because I was the victim of it. I had a whole book about stabbies. I wasn't allowed to publish it. Talking about the lab stuff, don't think about it. Zuckerberg was shutting that down back then. So who was telling you to shut it down then, buddy? You know, he wants to sit here and pretend like he's like one of the crew of the, you know, right-wing truther types. He's like, yeah, you know, Biden was telling me what to do. And I was like, man, this is messed up. Like, bro, like, what about in 2020? So who was telling you to do it then? Who are you blaming that on? Speaking of whores, Davos in the World Economic Forum sets a record for working women. Again, Radar Online, always with the hot goss. The World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, has become the stage for a disturbing revelation as escort agencies speak out about the escalating demand for sex parties, NDAs for prostitutes, and transsexual women among the globally elite attendees. RadarOnline.com can reveal the forum, which took place from January 20th to 25th, attracted over 3,000 business and political leaders to the Swiss Alps. According to a website which advertises as dates you pay for, many of the wealthy elites are enjoying orgies, booking multiple women at once. Anthony Berger, spokesperson for Tit for Tat, said, since the start of the World Economic Forum, we've seen around 300 women and trans women been booked in Davos and the surrounding area. Oh, boy. Now, the five main talking points of the World Economic Forum this year, it was about rebuilding trust, industries in an intelligent age, safeguarding the planet, climate change, investing in people, that's the labor markets, and reimagining growth, which they say is improving living standards. I got that from their website. And they also talked about how POTUS spoke at the event about, you know, making America great again, and talking about how other countries need to be making their products in America. And I don't know how that's going to work, you know, because these other countries, they pay slave laborers, slave conditions, horrible working conditions, no unions for sure. And in U.S., you know, for as much as we, you know, gripe about them not raising the minimum wage, wealth disparity gaps, it's better than what they've got in some other countries, okay? So I don't know how that would work. I mean, Vietnam isn't going to be like, oh, we're paying our people 5 cents an hour. Let's go pay Americans 10 bucks an hour and give them health insurance and all that stuff. The only way that would work is if the plan is for us to become slaves. As Aleister Crowley said, the slave shall serve. And I think that's the plan, you know? Oh, you don't want to be a slave? Get in the digital matrix. Now, the irony here is that I actually don't hate this idea of bringing back jobs to America. I'm fully supportive of it. I think all that, and I don't, look, I'm not an economist. I have no idea what the repercussions are. I think as long as we can have decent living wages, I support it. You know, all that NAFTA and trade agreements and stuff is, you know, there's arguments for it. From what I understand, the argument is, look, our workforce is more skilled and they don't want to do these jobs. So let's find countries that do. And it when they do, it helps keep the costs lower for here. So we have a higher cost of living. Like there's arguments for it that I don't know what the answer is. But on its face, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'm a patriot. So I don't know what the right answer is, though, to be honest. I just don't want us to become slaves, you know. Like they're trying to shut down the unions, and I think that's the step. That's the thing that's in the way of them just being like full on slave labor class, you know? And I'm not saying like, oh, unions are completely flawless and everything they do is great, but I am saying that management wants to get rid of them. Why do you think that is? They want to put you under the thumb. Every dystopian cyberpunk movie shows you exactly what they want to do. It's a chess move. They need to get the unions out of the way first, and then it's bring on the pain. And at that speech, guess who was up there side by side? The CEO of Blackstone or BlackRock? God, I don't even remember anymore. Stephen Schwartzman. Is it BlackRock? Blackstone. Why am I thinking two? Blackstone. Jeez. Is there a BlackRock? Is there two different Yeah, there's BlackRock and Blackstone. Anyway. They're all Illuminati confirmed, though. And they own, like, a ton of corporations, and they got tons of money, whatever, right? Can't trust them. Then a couple days later, Eric Trump, one of Trump's sons, tweeted on January 26th, "Any and all who dare to defy the American golden age, heed this warning. You will lose. Toe the line, or we will run you down." And I did a Substack about the talk of the golden age and what it means symbolically from the occult perspective. Check that out. IlluminatiWatcher.substack.com. And I think Eric Trump was also trying to pump Ethereum around the same time, which, I mean, pump that Ethereum. We need that up there now, folks. So lots of movement happening, right? Lots of chaos. So final couple stories. These are a little bit interesting, right? Jamie Foxx, he had a Netflix show called What Had Happened Was. And what's really interesting here is that back in the day, a year ago, I was talking about how I think Jamie Foxx's medical condition was brought on by Diddy. Allegedly, maybe, theory, whatever. And then he was doing this performance and the news, the fake news media was leaking about how, yeah, people that went to the performance said that how he said Diddy did this to him. And I was like, oh, snap, I got it right. I predicted it correctly. So I was very excited to watch this. And what turned out to be was propaganda. And it starts out, and I don't advise to watch it, so because it's terrible. So let me tell you what happened. It starts out where Jamie Foxx is recalling this mysterious medical emergency he had. Nobody knew what it was or what it was about. In fact, the first person that brought him out was his daughter, Corinne Foxx. She was the one who lied and said he was out pickleballing and he was fine when he was like in a stroke in a hospital bed. And then Jamie Foxx comes out and he totally Cat Williams' entire style of stand-up for the first 5 minutes. It's bizarre, because then it kind of changes. You know, playing the music, and I don't know. I don't know if Cat Williams invented that, but he's, to me, he's known for that, right? It's very strange. And he starts talking to, you know, it's filmed in Atlanta. He's like, oh, Atlanta, you saved my life. You put me back together, blah, blah, blah. And the whole thing is, it's kind of like half sort of preacher sermon, half dancing, half comedy, 100% propaganda. He immediately, right at the beginning, says, the internet was trying to kill me. The internet said that Puffy tried to kill me. I know what you're thinking. Did he? Ha, ha, ha. Hell no, I left them parties early. I was out by 9. Something don't look right. It's slippery in here. Which, by the way, is strange, because that's what Philip Jeffries, the percolator, says in Twin Peaks, but I digress. So if you don't know the history, I've done many shows on Jamie Foxx and Diddy in the past, but Jamie Foxx was the cameraman for the Diddy parties back in the 90s, before Jamie Foxx was super famous, right? Jamie Foxx, you did not leave those parties at 9 o'clock, buddy. In fact, I bet there's timestamps on those videos that shows it's after 9. That's what I'm saying. It's all propaganda. This guy's like a big dog in the movie business, and they're protecting his investment. Their investment. Then he says, Cat Williams said he knew. Then he does an impersonation of Cat, which actually isn't terrible. But then makes fun of the way Cat Williams talks, calling him the Wicked Witch of the West. He says, you know, Cat Williams will say 2,000 things that don't make sense, but then he says 4 things that do. And I'm like, bro, don't mess with my guy. He says, Cat Williams might be onto something, because it is still a mystery. So right off the bat, what had happened was, we're not going to get the truth of what really happened. Which maybe he doesn't know, right? We're not going to get the truth, though. What was the purpose of all this whole thing? The whole thing was for him to distance himself from Diddy. That was the message he wanted to get out there. He comes back to it a few times. Kind of making fun of Diddy. Like, no, dude, you guys were besties. What are you talking about? And then he's going through his whole experience. He's crying on stage. No tears, by the way. Recalls the story. April 11th, he said he had a terrible headache. He asked for some aspirin. He passes out. Loses 20 days of his life, whatever, whatever. They take him to some various doctors to figure it out. Apparently, he had a brain bleed and a stroke. Doctor wanted to do an operation. He's laying in heavy on his religion and praying to God. And he says, during the operation, he saw a light in a tunnel. He says, but the tunnel was hot. And he jokes about, he's like, man, am I headed to the wrong place? And he says at the end of the tunnel, he sees what he thinks is the devil, and then jokes that it's Diddy. Again, distancing himself from Diddy. And this is all before the 15-minute mark, by the way, if you want to watch it. So the first 15 minutes tells you everything you need to know. And this is just like how a film is done. When I do a film analysis, I take notes on what's going on in the plot, right, and the characters. And in the first act of the film is the most writing I got to do. It's constant stuff going on. And then the second and third act, it's a lot less notes you got to take, because it's like, okay, the story's set up. Okay, here we go. And that's kind of how this is. He's making sure you know that he thinks Puffy's the bad guy and he's not associated and he left the parties at 9. And he says he woke up on May 4th in a wheelchair, couldn't walk, he had a stroke. In fact, not pickleballing, which he doesn't address. And if you recall, some of the first theories out there was that he was forced to take the stabby jabby. And there's a lot of theories out there that might support that. There's theories that it's associated with blood clotting and strokes. I'm not a medical expert. This is not medical advice. And then the rest of it, he just kind of does impersonations. It felt like he was just trying to go off the cuff and fill time. He was like, okay, did I get the message out about Diddy? Cool. All right, no. Let me try to make you guys laugh. He makes a joke about talking to God and saying, you know, why am I going through this? Shouldn't this happen to the bad people? And God said, those bad people belong to someone else. You belong to me. Pretty sure God loves every one of us and wouldn't turn his back on any single one of us and wouldn't say, oh, those people are lost causes. They belong to the devil. Call me crazy. So I'm like, bro, do you even go to church? He was raised in church. Like, apparently that was his whole thing. Is that what some of those churches believe? That God has some people that are like, they're naughty. And he's like, no, go to hell, sir. That's not how it works. But regardless, Jamie says it was when he forgot about God that God blessed him with this stroke so he could regain his spirituality. You know? Which is fine. Like, that whole side of the story, okay, I dig it. But I'm just not buying this whole presentation, you know. I don't know. I'm just on some Silky Johnson level of hating right now. And that's basically it. Speaking of Diddy, let's talk Ellen DeGeneres. Let's wrap this up. Ellen DeGeneres, she moved to the UK right after the election in November of 2024. Officially because of Trump, right? She's like, I'm getting out of here, whatever, whatever. But maybe it's because Diddy got arrested. Because her and Diddy were oddly close. She had a nickname for him, Cuddle McSnuggle Stuff. She tweeted it, and then she tried to explain why. She says, you don't need to know why. Oh, but we do, Ellen. And she had him on her show a bunch of times. And in November, a lot of weird stuff was happening. T.D. Jakes started convulsing on stage from seizures. Maybe it's demons, I don't know. A Shine documentary for Hulu was coming out, but then it got froze up because apparently Diddy tried to do a cease and desist that apparently failed, because it's on Hulu right now. I haven't watched it yet. But Hulu, the Shine doc, he spills the beans and claims that apparently that Diddy did in fact make him the fall guy in that 1999 club shooting with J-Lo. And if you look at the history, Shine and Diddy, like, even when Shine got out of prison, he's still like making appearances with Diddy. So I don't understand what happened. It's kind of interesting we're getting this revelation now, though. Now that he's in prison, everyone's either distancing themselves and being like, oh, whatever, he's a bad guy now. Like, bro, where was this? If you go to New York Post, back to Ellen. You go to New York Post, it says, the duo, talking about Ellen and her wife, the duo who wed in 2008 will likely never return to the U.S. on a permanent basis, one source claimed. Separate insiders told TMZ that the duo decided to get the hell out of the country immediately following the president-elect's victory, which left them feeling very disillusioned. During election season, DeGeneres was vocal about her support for Harris and reportedly donated $3,300 to her campaign. Is she a billionaire or something? A millionaire? $3,300. Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi's English farmhouse had flooded following torrential rain, a bombshell new report claims. The couple recently purchased a multi-million pound property in the Cotswolds, about 2 hours outside of London. But the 43-acre grounds are now underwater after the River Thames? How do you pronounce it? The River Thames? Where's my English blokes at? The River Thames broke its banks in the wake of Storm Bert earlier this week, the Daily Mail reports. Numerous roads in the Cotswolds have been left impassable after saturated in 5 feet of water. Yada, yada, yada. Okay. So the news was like, okay, their mansion that they moved to, it's flooding. But then there was reports come out, it's like, no, it's not flooding. Even Ellen was saying that. She's like, it didn't flood. But then on February 16th, you know, just before this recording, they're saying that they are, in fact, looking for a new home because there is surrounded by floodwater. But why do we care about any of this, right? Let me take you down a fun little theory. The area they moved to is called the Cotswold Village, and this has been filmed in a lot of movies. Harry Potter, Pride and Prejudice, Bridget Jones' Diary, Braveheart. Celebrities live there like the Beckhams and Kate Moss and Liz Hurley, right? But that Cotswold name comes from a goddess of Cuda. And I read there's this man, Stephen Yeats, talks about this. He says that Cotswolds means Cuda's hills. And then I found an analysis by Richard Coates referencing the Druids, a comparative study of Indo-European pagan practice. And it says, on the topic of mother goddesses, the title Cuda was often given meaning prosperity, This idea seems to be related to Patricia Monahan's comment that such a figure might be seen as a goddess of prosperity, which is very far from claiming that the name means prosperity. A goddess named... Okay. Then in a different sighting, perhaps she is using... Okay, blah, blah, blah. There is no evidence that Kuda is... Okay, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, Kuda is a goddess. Long story short. Kind of gets nerdy in there. But also in that article, it argues that the name Cod, C-O-D, is a masculine form. And it kind of goes through questioning, are these real gods and goddesses, whatever. But if we move forward with the idea that Cotswold is derived from the goddess named Kuda, there's a website, hearthfirehandworks.com, talks about Kuda. It says, Kuda is a Celtic goddess worshipped at Cirencester in Britain, where she's depicted seated, holding in her lap an object that may be an egg, loaf, or other symbol of fertility. Her attributes are that of a mother goddess. And she is accompanied by the Cuculati, spirits of fertility and abundance, worshipped across Britain and Gaul. Now the Cuculati are hooded cape spirits shown as the triple goddess depictions. You see that oftentimes. And it comes from the Irish name Cockle, which means monk's hood. And if you recall, we did a film analysis of Halloween 3 recently with Conal Cochran, which makes sense because there was a hooded witch mask. Okay. So let's wrap it up. In conclusion, who cares? What are you talking about, Isaac? Well, my theory is that the mother goddess is like all of us. She hates Ellen DeGeneres. The mother goddess knows that they moved to UK because of the Diddy fallout coming, the pending Diddy revelations. Because I guarantee if Diddy ends up going by the way of Epstein, they move right back to America. They're like, okay, cool, we're good. You know, so the mother goddess flooded their stuff because the femininity is symbolized by water. All right, the flood waters are the feminine goddess, flooding them out of their home. Now, if you look at the mother goddess figures, you normally we talk about Ishtar and Semiramis and Inanna and Tiamat. And if you go to study.com, it says different mother goddesses have different symbols in mythology. For instance, the ancient Babylonian mother goddess is sometimes portrayed as a great serpent. This is possibly related to her association with primordial salt waters and chaos. Tiamat is also associated with chaos and capriciousness, likely as a reflection of how rivers and seas could support life through watering crops and having fish, but bodies of water could also be destructive. So, I think it's a solid theory. You could argue that's how this went down. The goddesses are punishing Ellen in her home, driving her out. They're like, no, get out of here. And she's been having a rough go since 2022. You know, she was let go. Her show got shut down. She was alleged to be abusive to staff. Shocker, I know. And, of course, she's tied into all the adrenochrome stuff, too. So, and also, fun side note, we talked about the goddess being depicted with the egg. And you have all the egg stuff with the cosmic egg and the UFO stuff we talked about with Jake Barber a couple weeks ago. Okay, there you go. We're caught up. I mean, kind of, right? There's so much going on. It's hard to keep up. But that is kind of the best of the occult Illuminate confirmed subjects I've seen floating around the news. And of course, there's a ton more. There's only so much time in the day. And I'm working on a whole bunch of stuff. I got a lot of sticks and a lot of fires, okay? Primarily, I'm working on this monster 3-4 hour final Twin Peaks wrap-up video that I'm going to drop. I'm going to have it done. I promise you. I don't know how polished it'll be, but I'll have it done by February 23rd, the day I will drop it, okay? So if you're into the Twin Peaks thing, catch up. 54 episodes, this is the 55th episode, and it's over, it's done. So if you're a Twin Peaks hater, congratulations, you made it. I'm not talking about it anymore, okay? Which, by the way, someday you won't be a Twin Peaks hater. I was a Twin Peaks hater one day, and I changed. So you're going to come around one day, I assure you, one day, it's going to bite you. And you're going to say, damn, now I know why he did this. And you're going to go and you're going to catch up on all of them because you're going to love it, okay? But anyways, thank you for your support. supporters keep the show alive. I say that, I mean that. That is you. Thank you so much for your support. Also, side note, I realize I never talk about this, but if you're on patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher or the IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section, and you're on tier one, I would like to tell you that there's a tier two that I make ad-free videos on unlisted Rumble links. A lot of people didn't know that. So if you want the video version of the show, which, to be honest, is mostly me being a talking head, if I do a movie analysis, you might get the movie clips. You know, sometimes the videos are more engaging, sometimes it's me just yammering at you and looking at you. But if you like that and you want to support the show at a tier two, go for it. It's $10 as of right now. So check it out. But I thank you for your support, regardless of how it looks. I joke about the free feed losers. A lot of people that they cancel because they're like, hey, my financial situation changed. I joke. I respect you guys. Please stick around the free feed if you end up doing that, okay? But thank you for your support, and your active creation of this show is what keeps it going. So thank you very much. Until next time, stay positive.